Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this. Wet socks are the worst thing in the world. There is. We're done. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. No, and when your socks are wet or your underwear is riding up your ass or something and you're in a bad mood, then you tend to be a little whiny. Like, well, okay, and my best example is when I'm in traffic. When I'm in traffic and I'm in a hurry, you look at the people in front of you, all of whom are your fellow citizens trying to go someplace.
Trying
probably
to get
very
along.
Important.
Just trying to live their
just
own
trying
lives.
To get along.
That's not going to work.
Look, I'm just getting over pneumonia, so there'll be some mechanical issues with pulmonary.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Getting over pneumonia?
Yeah.
Dude. You know what I like about modern life?
What?
That you
kind of a segue is that?
Well, no, I like that you can be getting over pneumonia as opposed
right.
to us all saying
just
it was
dying
sad
from
he got
it.
Pneumonia.
Right, you died of pneumonia. You died of like an infection on your leg. A staph infection used to kill you 100 years ago.
All right, I think we have a sound check.
but as he coughs up a lung. No, and other times you're just like, I have important things to do. Why are these people clogging up the highway and getting in my way? I will literally say that. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but it can't be as important. What does I have to do? Get out of my way.
I
admit that. I'm being juvenile and petulant.
I don't know if he originated it, but Martin Amis had in, what was it, London Fields, the schmo character in the book London Fields is complaining about the traffic, and his wife says, my God, how can you not understand that you are the traffic?
Right, exactly. I'm part of the traffic, but I see myself as apart from the traffic, above the traffic. I am the important person who must be allowed to proceed.
What I think is that there should be a sign that I'm allowed to hold up that says I am just buying black coffee that allows me to hop the Starbucks line at any time.
I am not a coffee drinker, but I understand what right, I'm a tea drinker. I'm like, look, you're charging me
water.
You're charging me for hot water. Get the hell out of my way. Right, there should be a black coffee and a tea-only line, as opposed to people who need the half-calf,
yeah,
decaf,
next thing you know,
latte.
Next thing you know, I'm in a place where I'm like, I am just trying to get home to Tucker. I'm not trying to go to Cobb County. So
I understand.
Let me have a lane all by myself, which is, of course, foolish.
I think I should just get a lane by myself because I'm a cool dude. That's really it.
Well, that's
boring people to the right. I get to go.
Excellent argument. I think we should take that to Nathan Deal.
Yeah, Nathan Deal.
Okay, spoiler alert, everyone. Pete is going to cough.
Throughout the entire program.
Thing.
Ha!
And there might be some snorts, too. So if that grosses you out, I apologize.
Look, didn't you just blow your nose? And you just got an entire stack of paper towels from the restaurant?
I did it before the mics went on.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I'm the non-professional because I'm coughing and hacking.
No, you're the non-professional.
My pulmonary distress amuses
you. Demeanor.
Yeah, I'm in a cranky mood. I admit that.
It's kind of freezing in the studio too.
Yeah, it's cold here. What's the deal with that? The entire eastern seaboard is plunged into Arctic freeze.
Shouldn't you be doing a Seinfeld impression when you say that? What's up with that?
No,
that was not a Seinfeld impression. That
was close enough. I don't really care.
I think I went low at the end. And he would always go high.
Yeah, I don't really do Jerry Seinfeld.
Should I put a mic directly against your throat for when you're...
No, don't do that. But speaking of bodily fluids, the Gold Rush dance team here at Georgia Tech sends saliva to space to see germ growth.
Holy cow.
That's the headline from the life section of our last technique, the... What do we call this? The liveliest newspaper in the South?
We don't call it that.
Who calls it that?
They call it that.
All right. So this is the Georgia Tech School newspaper. It's a fine piece of journalism. And it brings up my old nemesis, the Science Cheerleaders, which were founded by Darlene Cavalier. I met Darlene Cavalier a couple years ago.
Whoa. You can't. Don't bury the lead here. The hell is the Science Cheerleader?
Well, the Science Cheerleaders is an organization started by Darlene Cavalier, and I met her at the USA Science and Engineering Festival a couple years ago. And Tim Lee, who's been on our program.
Dear God, Pete, what is it? Tell me what it is. I don't care who they are or where you met them.
It's a bunch of former or current professional cheerleaders for professional NBA, NFL-type teams. Many of them were also college cheerleaders.
Okay.
who also have degrees in science and technology, either bachelor's or graduate degrees.
George W. Bush is not one of them.
No, he's not. Although there is a male contingent of cheerleaders.
There would have to be.
That is kind of new. I wasn't aware of that 2 years ago when I met Darlene. And the way I met Darlene was Tim Lee. Tim Lee did the podcast, didn't he?
Mm-mm. He did your show.
He just did my show. So Tim Lee's been on Inside the Black Box a couple times.
Science only funnier.
He's a PhD biologist, ecologist, who's also a comedian.
Every Wednesday at noon on WREK Atlanta.
91.1 FM.
Streaming from WREK.org worldwide.
He found these science cheerleaders like a mole looking for something underground.
Now, I don't think you didn't say, though, what's their deal. So they are ex-cheerleaders of all kinds.
Well, some of them are current.
Our current, okay.
Right. And I'm going to paraphrase, but I think their goal is to show people that you can be a cheerleader and you can have a good science or technical acumen as well. The two are not mutually exclusive.
I mean...
You're not impressed. Neither was I.
Something does bother me about that. What?
And what, pray tell, bothers you about that?
I don't... Give me a minute. Or
it's got
3 seconds. There's something wrong with this. I'm not sure what it is. It's the okay, cheerleaders are stupid, but look, we can't. I mean, I think that's what it is. That's what it is. It's like they're saying, yeah, but look, we can be, as opposed to why wouldn't we be? I think that
now
was.
Now you're confusing me with your fancy use of the English language. What? We can be as opposed to
nothing fancy about that.
Please explain.
I feel a little bit unsettled by the seeming acceptance of the stereotype in order to bust it. Let's continue, and
right.
I'll see if.
Okay, yeah,
I might
no,
be wrong about this.
That's what's unsettling as well. It's kind of saying people think cheerleaders are dumb. We're trying to dispel that.
We're doing this in real time, and as
I'll
everyone
be dead by tomorrow,
I hope so. And as everyone should know,
I'm heavily insured, so it works out for you.
Can you get me on your policy somehow?
I think you deserve a cut
or something.
Of that big term life insurance.
I mean, your wife obviously should get the most for
right,
being able
for
to put
up
with this.
Yeah.
So we're doing this in real time. I've never heard of the science cheerleaders before.
Can you bring up science cheerleaders on the?
I can
on the fancy computer machine.
And so you're laying it out for me, and I'm having reactions. There was no pre-interview on this. It wasn't.
This is spontaneous, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. This is the honest reaction.
And I actually had a moment over the weekend where there was a recent event where Mozilla had a little a rethink of their corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking a friend of mine whose sexual orientation is
see if you can do the
is
about,
not the majority
about section.
Yes, up here. And I was saying, I'm worried about this. This is causing me trouble. And she said, you're an asshole. There's no trouble to be had. And I said, no, I need to talk to you, but I need to like work it out so I can figure out what it is that's I'm having problems.
And by non-typical sexual orientation, you're talking about furries, right?
Of course. That is exactly what I'm talking about. So I was at a furry convention hanging out with the furries and my friends who are furries.
I don't think we should judge furries. I think as long as you don't harm other people or the environment, you're okay. So
that's pretty good, yeah.
So maybe you want to read the blurb on Darlene Cavalier.
Before I do that, I was doing a slightly elliptical explanation of what I'm talking about here, where I need to figure out what I think of science cheerleaders.
Okay.
So the dude who was a CEO for Mozilla for like a day, mm-hmm. he donated to Proposition 8 in California, which was the anti-gay marriage or the pro-traditional marriage, however you want to say it.
Okay, so if you voted for Proposition 8, that means you were going to define marriage as
just
between
a man
and
a
woman.
Okay. Yeah, and you were going to say...
And it did pass.
Gay people, yeah. And it was bad. It is the tip of the iceberg of the marginalization of gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And this was however many years ago, but when he became CEO of Mozilla, there was a bit of an outcry within Mozilla. They said, we're supposed to be a progressive, diverse company, and this guy has a problem with gay people. And that eventually turned into him stepping down.
Okay.
And undoubtedly, he resigned because someone said, dude, just go.
This isn't going to work for us. Yeah. Okay. And he might have been a very capable CEO otherwise.
He might have been.
He might have even changed his mind since Proposition 8.
That's the other, right. But, yeah. but so something was wrong with that for me. Now, I have no problem with people who voted for or supported Proposition 8 getting a little hell for that, because I do think that it's bigoted, and I don't think that there is an acceptable justification for voting for that law.
Right. I agree. I am against Proposition 8.
I think there's legitimate reasons that people might have, but those reasons are not justifiable.
Mm-hmm.
Just to parse into a way so that now no one knows what the hell I'm trying to say. But something about that CEO thing was just wrong, and so one of my gay friends, and I know this. I sound like a complete tool when I say that, but one of my gay friends, I said...
He has at least one of them, ladies
and
gentlemen.
I got one.
That makes him okay.
I said, please, what do you think of that? And they were like, he got what he deserved. I'm like, okay, I have a problem with it, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. And they were like, why would you... And I did, you know, all except the actual words. She did call me an asshole for, mm-hmm. you know, trying to protect him. And, you know, the conversation was about history of prejudice in America and the KKK and if people were supplying money to causes that were clearly what we didn't like,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. And we ended it with me basically saying, okay, yeah, I don't know what my problem is. I'm uncomfortable with it, but I just need to talk it out to be able to find the source of my discomfort.
And is the source of your discomfort the fact that had the situation been flipped... Had the guy been progressive and donated money to defeat Proposition 8,
that is exactly where I was coming from.
Damn, I'm good.
And my friend was like, yeah, I kind of understand that, except that doesn't happen. We're not talking about, you know, minorities and majorities.
No, that does happen a lot. Are you kidding? We live in Georgia. People get kicked out of things for having progressive views all the time.
Do they?
There are science teachers in the state of Georgia that colleagues of mine know personally that are persecuted within their school districts for just wanting to teach evolution.
What's the nature of the persecution?
Yeah, I mean, are they losing their jobs? Maybe not, but they are being made fun of at recess.
Exactly, and that is not what we're talking about. Because really, the history of basically killing gay people for being gay, stoning them to death,
mm-hmm.
and then
wow, have we done that recently?
Not recently.
Stoning
to throwing them in jail and yep. giving them electroshock therapy. And electroshock therapy to stop people from being gay, that happened in your lifetime, Pete.
We use electroshock therapy for a lot of things in my lifetime. A lot of people wanted to use it on me, but just because of my smart-ass attitude.
People are not... no one is getting electroshock therapy because they voted Democrat, you know? And also...
I think there are people that would like to do that, though.
Who would like, but who are
but
not.
But as far as I know, it has not happened.
And also, the folks who were running Proposition 8 or some of the major donors and organizers, they also went to Uganda and supported the whole, let's kill the gay
people.
Kill
the gay people. That's really bad.
Now, at the end of that secondary conversation, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Screw that guy, whatever, I don't care. But at first, there was sort of that thought police thing. That mm-hmm. was what I was having trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all that to say, you say science cheerleader, and my first thought is,
That's how I reacted. Like I said, the way I met them.
So now we need to know what's going on here so I can figure out why I'm upset.
Tim Lee's motivation was not one of scientific outreach and education. It was... You know, they walk around in these skimpy uniforms and these short skirts. And Tim Lee is an intelligent, erudite, scientist.
Tim Lee
satirist.
Is somewhat vain.
Is he somewhat vain?
Absolutely.
Well, he's good looking, too.
See, this is the thing. He's the handsome guy, comedy crew.
What is the name of that tour he has? The Incredibly Handsome Comedians Tour?
Exactly.
Oh, it's marketing genius, though. And let's face it, if we could make money off the bald liberal dudes tour, we'd do it.
Oh, I think my liberal cred is
I don't know.
Failing.
I do not think Tim is vain as...
Tim Lee, I'm calling you out.
Okay.
I saw you examining your hairline in... the mirror.
Oh, if I had hair like his, though, I'd be checking it out on a regular okay. basis. Man. He's actually a really nice guy.
Darlene Cavalier founded the Science Cheerleader to unite the citizens' desire to be heard and valued, the scientists' growing interest in the public's involvement, and government's need to garner public support.
Okay I don't get that at all.
Yeah, you do.
What does it have to do with cheerleaders, though?
Well, she founded this to unite free expression, public involvement in science, and the requirement of public support. The science cheerleader serves to get the conversation going, rally the troops, solicit views from all sides. And okay, this might be nitpicking, but this is not a biography. This is not about her. This is about science cheerleader. I sort of wish that we could find out more about her. Okay. Solicit views from all sides and change the tone of science and science policy in this country. She also founded SciStarter, a citizen science hotspot connecting millions of people to hundreds of formal and informal research projects. She's the co-founder of ECAST, Expert and Citizen Assessment of Science and Technology. Yowza, how could anyone have a problem with this?
Well, because when I met them at the USA Science and Engineering Festival, which is upcoming, actually, it's in April. So if you Google or search for USA Science and Engineering Festival, take a look. It's an entire weekend at the convention center, the Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. I'm not going because I was kicked out this year. I performed in many capacities 2 years ago. That's where I first met Darlene and the science cheerleaders. Okay, and you're looking at what they're wearing, right? So the reason Tim called them to
Those
my attention—
are called hot pants.
Right, but I think they the actual uniforms they were wearing a couple of years ago at the USA Science and Engineering Festival were really short pleated skirts, more traditional things. They were very skimpy uniforms, and Tim said, "Pete, you got to check this out." Not because of the value of science outreach, but because it was scantily clad, tall, slender, attractive women. And I believe Tim's engaged now, and with all due respect, this is before he met his current fiance. You know, he's a single guy. I mean, he's like, Pete, you might want to check this out.
Attractive people are fun to look at.
Yes. Okay, so that's how I met them. But then I talked to Darlene later that evening, and I said, well, look, can you justify this for me? And she did make a good case. And I did see it in action. I saw young girls who thought because they were interested in something that wasn't normally associated with science, whether it's cheerleading or something related, that they can't also be a scientist or an engineer or something like that. And these were women that were a good role model for them. I would argue that it's a niche. It's a rather small niche. What about normal-looking women who want to be scientists and engineers who don't walk around in bare midriff outfits?
Aha. That's my problem.
Yeah, that's my problem, too.
It's because cheerleading itself and the tenets of cheerleading and the whole skimpy outfits and the kind of—
Turn women into sexual objects.
Well, actually,
they do. You will lose that argument with me.
No. Men do that to cheerleaders.
Oh, but then women seem to like the whole idea of it. That they're like, look, I'm a scientist, but I can also wear a skimpy outfit.
Are you being quite broad in your generalizations here?
I guess I am. That's a bit sweeping. I don't know. Should we ban cheerleading? That's the question.
Well, I am one of those buzzkills who thinks that cheerleading as it is right now is bad news.
I agree. It is bad news.
Yeah.
But it's a tradition like smoke-filled rooms and other things that aren't necessarily healthy or good for
democracy. Yeah, it's a tradition like racism and segregation.
Right. Segregation, road rage.
Road rage is a recent tradition, is it not?
The Model T's been around for a while.
Okay, so
I'm sure road rage happened within like 3 months of the first cars.
I'm almost positive that everything that we've said and thought about the science cheerleaders so far is a sign of us being jackasses.
That's a distinct possibility. But when I talked to Darlene, I will say this. There was something positive coming out of it. And maybe it's simply that, look, maybe it makes you aware of diversity. Maybe it makes you aware of the fact that not all scientists and engineers look a certain way. They're not all male, middle-aged, bald guys like me. Let's face it. I am the face of science and engineering.
Okay, so here's the thing.
And that's a good thing.
So you and I don't believe that anyway.
No, but I think some people do.
Right, some people do. But you and I don't believe that scientists just look like you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, luckily, many of them are much better looking than me.
But we go to Georgia Tech. We know the diversity of...
Right.
Hey, are you dying yet? I'm waiting.
And I'm here doing the podcast on my deathbed, metaphorically speaking.
We know that scientists don't all look one way.
Right.
And they especially don't look...
And they don't act one way.
The lab coat, glasses, nebbish way that people...
Nebbish? What is that, a Yiddish word?
Don't What's you know the... what a nebbish is?
No.
Oh, God. Let's look up nebbish,
and now,
shall we?
Vocabulary with Charlie Bennett. Speaking of that, the new SAT guidelines came out, and they are determined to use non-obscure vocabulary words, like nebbish. It is Yiddish. I knew it. A person, especially a man who is registered and pitifully ineffectual, timid, or submissive. Really?
Nebbish. A person, especially a man, who is regarded as pitifully ineffectual, timid, or submissive. That's a little strong.
That's harsh. Those are harsh words for a middle-aged bald man like yourself. What was the line from the John Wayne movie?
Them's bold words for a one-eyed fat man.
True Grit.
God,
it's a classic.
I'm just one eye away from that description. So, where were we going with this? Oh, right, science. We know of the diversity in science, but some people don't.
Mm. And in that respect, Darlene convinced me that this was a good thing.
And some people might imagine that cheerleaders are good for that and not for anything else. This is the kind of person who
what,
says...
What, good for science and nothing else? Or
no,
good
no, no,
for
no.
cheerleading?
Good for then. Cheerleading. I mean, whenever someone talks about... Let me be more precise here. Whenever, say, a gossip column mm-hmm. refers to how someone has let themselves go because now they look like a regular person...
you know? Like an engineer?
Well, or just you know, if a actress so-and-so has really let herself go, mm. you know, because she's no longer 22, right? She's no yeah. longer a professionally physically fit person.
Right.
That is a sign. That whole package that I just described right there, that is a sign of this objectification, but beyond objectification, this sort of boxing of women, that they are there for some kind of...
just to look good.
Yeah, just to look good. But there's something more. I mean, with cheerleading, there's, you know, not only do they have to look good, but also they have to be able to perform.
Yeah.
You know, and perform in the, oh, this is a problem I've got. Yeah, they have to perform in the service of something that they are not a part of.
Yeah.
So then when a science cheerleader, like, oh, is that someone who's on the sidelines going, rah, 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 science, go.
Right, that's exactly what they have in this picture.
They do.
It's a science.
The picture
go.
Here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
low
12.
Low-cut V-neck hot pants outfits.
12 cheerleaders who are literally doing the classic pose with the sign that says science. And
right, but they're
go.
Not just passive participants. The requirement is that all of them have backgrounds or degrees in
right,
science
right,
and engineering.
That, we just
so
found that out,
thing.
But I'm saying my original sort of, ooh, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Is because the stereotype of cheerleader, mm-hmm. or not even stereotype, but the function of a cheerleader, say in professional sports,
is to root for the main important person.
Is essentially yeah, non-participatory.
Athlete. Yeah,
yeah. And there's arguments against that too. Because I mean, mm-hmm. If I tried to cheerlead in any way, I would die. One day,
really?
one day of cheerleader practice, like those jumps and the flips and all
yeah,
that stuff,
that's
I'd be
tough.
Dead. I did Warrior Dash this weekend.
What
right?
is Warrior Dash?
I feel like we talked about it, but it's a 3-mile run that has some obstacles.
We did not talk about this.
It's a 3-mile run with mud, okay. and you jump in a lake, and you climb a sort of boot camp style
so it's kind
wall.
Of a Lord of the Flies kind of thing going
no,
on.
No, no, because you're not stuck there. And
okay, and there is no conch shell.
Piggy has something to hold his glasses to his face.
Okay.
You know, you crawl under barbed wire, you jump in a mud pit, you go down a water slide, you jump over a wall.
And the reason you do this is?
For fun.
Okay, whatever your idea of fun is, it's a little strange to me.
I think that's always been
Did
true.
Did you at least raise money for a charity?
No.
So you just acted like an ass in the woods. Charlie Bennett going crazy in the woods.
Some people like to go camping.
Yeah.
I prefer Warrior Dash.
Okay, so you did Warrior Dash, which is fine. I don't want to judge.
By the end of Warrior Dash, I hurt. So much.
Yeah. No, I think you have to be in good shape to be a good cheerleader.
And I am
okay.
not in
I'm
good
not,
shape
I'm not
at
arguing.
All.
Yeah.
Like, I had to take a bath with bath salts to recover from running 3 miles and climbing over some walls.
Did you use Epsom salts?
I did. Dr. Wow. Teal's or Dr. Beal's. They were magical.
Magical.
But if I tried to do what these cheerleaders can do, I think I would tear something and probably fall on my head and die.
So do me a favor. Click on why do we need science cheerleaders? That's probably going to... It was up. It was one of the blue links at the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, but oh, their okay. anchors are screwed
okay.
up.
Scientific innovations have produced roughly half of all economic growth in the last 50 years. We do not have enough people in the pipeline to supply science and technology workforce capable of meeting the global scientific challenges we will face in this century. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. The U.S. needs to find non-traditional approaches to tap new sources of talent. The science cheerleaders have demonstrated an ability to connect with groups traditionally underrepresented in science and technology fields, potentially broadening educational and workforce funnel. That's the argument Darlene made to me, and I believe it.
It's a good argument. It's a true argument. It just feels a little bit like, and again, this is why I wonder, is this just, foregrounding the fact that I am dismissive of cheerleaders? I don't think I am directly, but clearly I do think that cheerleading as a concept, why are we doing that? We should stop.
Yeah, it just seems unimportant.
Right. Except,
but
so many things are important. For instance, this podcast. Right?
I will admit this.
We have a science podcast. We have a podcast about,
You're killing me.
Intersection of science and humanities.
Is the intersection of science and humanities. Science cheerleader. Are cheerleaders under humanities?
Probably not.
Why not?
Because it's a sport. Cheerleading is a sport.
Yeah, but it's a weird human phenomenon, hence humanities.
Okay.
Is sport not part of humanities?
The study
of sport and why we do it and what motivates us to continue with sport is.
Yeah, you're right. But that's essentially sociology, right?
Right, but that's what cheerleaders are. It's a weird sociological phenomenon.
What is your question? Is your question that is cheerleading a discipline that we could call a humanities discipline, or is it a subject of the study?
It is
that
the subject of humanities.
Yeah. Right, right.
But all things are even science is within humanities.
Exactly. So why look?
Right. Your major, science, technology, and culture, is the humanities approach to science and its role in culture.
The set of everything to call something a part of that set of everything is to be redundant and, in fact, foolish.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless you're defining terms.
That's my answer right there. I'm going to make a guttural, echoic sound like one of those African plainsmen where they talk in clicks.
If all human activity is the subject of study that we then call the humanities, mm-hmm. then to ask if something that humans do is a part of the subject of the humanities, that's sort of mm-hmm. like, yes, and what of it, right?
Right.
So cheerleading, which I guess is essentially dance, you know.
Applied dance.
It's dance. I mean,
it's dance
is
you're
applied
applying
dance.
It to getting, whipping people into a frenzy over the impending sporting event.
So it's dance performance. I mean, it's not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get nice and big about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's performative dance.
Okay.
So, yeah, people should study it, and it takes a lot of work, and mm-hmm. I am an asshole. I can't believe it. I'm just like, oh. I'm dismissive of cheerleaders because...
You're going to kill me. Right, but here's the deal. I recently spoke to... It was a big session put on by the Society of Women Engineers, the Savannah, Georgia chapter. And one of the sections I had in my presentation was the face of science and engineering. And I said, look, I showed cartoon of Professor Frink from The Simpsons, you know, the white guy in the lab coat, right? That is the face of science engineering.
The somewhat desiccated white guy in the lab coat.
Is he desiccated?
Is he not?
No, I don't think he's really dried up.
To the internet.
To the internet.
Before I leave this...
Frink is desiccated.
Before I leave this page, science cheerleader... Singular. ScienceCheerleader.com is how you can find out more.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not really.
Yeah.
He is.
Grandpa Simpson is desiccated.
He is truly a nebbish, though, is he not?
No, he's not ineffectual. He is a tour de force, a force to be reckoned with. Look at him. He's like raising his arms. He's like, yeah.
He's a nerd.
And are not nerds effective?
Possibly.
Yeah. But in any case, I don't even remember what we were talking about. Oh, yeah. So I actually showed a picture from Science Cheerleaders, sciencecheerleader.com. And I said, look, let me tell you about these science cheerleaders I met at the USA Science and Engineering Festival. I said, just in case you're thinking, oh, well, I'm a cheerleader, I can't be a scientist or engineer. I said, just to show you that, you know, some scientists and engineers look like this. Some look like the traditional way. Others are athletes.
I think even more important.
And I think for a young person, that does help them.
It probably does. But even better would be the argument that you can value the things that this seems to value and still be part of science and education. You can still have...
I value the diversity that the science cheerleaders are trying to...
Well, no. I mean, even more explicitly, if, you know, cheerleaders. I like cheerleaders. They're cute. They jump around. They're part of sports. That can be a part of what you think of life, mm-hmm. and you can still be interested in scientific inquiry. You can still be interested in the sense of science in your life.
But why does it make our skin crawl just a little bit? All right, but one of the nice topics, and I did not see this. Maybe this is a new addition to the website when I looked a year or two ago. They have a guy in charge of male cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at least they're trying to take a gender equity, an equitable gender approach. And there are male cheerleaders. And let's face it, I live next door to one at the University of Illinois, a guy named Trevor. Really nice guy. Great shape. Yeah, he was quite the athlete because he had to hoist these women up and down all the time. He was in really good shape. Good-looking dude. Eye candy, you know. But a really nice guy.
It does show off when you have a male cheerleader and a female cheerleader. Wow, can't talk.
It says that both genders are equally shallow when it comes to ogling attractive people.
Not exactly, though, because the male cheerleader outfit is usually that sort of jumpsuit-y. Kind of cut.
Yeah, but it's pretty tight. Trevor wore a tight shirt.
It's tight, but it's not the
pectorals.
I'm going to get in trouble if I go too far down this.
Okay.
You know, very short skirts.
Yeah. The women's uniforms are a little more exploitive.
I agree. Thank you. That's a way to do this that doesn't involve horrific details. And also probably designed by a man. Their outfits.
Probably.
So all that aside, Pete, I mean, what do you think of this? What do you think of using the other stuff to try and promote science?
I mean, I'm a little troubled by the whole idea of cheerleading. However, even in that little niche.
Yeah, but what if it was the U.S. gymnastics team?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
What if it's a band?
When it comes to science education and science outreach, I am a complete pimp. I am willing to use anything that we can, even to reach small niche audiences, to get people excited about potential careers in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So I say, do it.
What if science teachers all got together and they were science teachers for cheerleaders? Trying to get people to be cheerleaders.
I don't think cheerleading contributes as much to the economy and the welfare of the planet as, say, science and engineering or other things.
I'm sure there are people who would disagree.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
Recorded at the WREK studios on the campus of the Georgia Institute of Technology.
And do our opinions reflect those of Georgia Tech or WREK?
I don't think so.